Chapter 12. How Sir Palomedes followed the questing beast and smote down Sir Tristram and Sir Lamorack with one spear. And this meanwhile there came Sir Palomedes, the good knight, following the questing beast, that had in shape a head like a serpent's head, and a body like a leopard, buttocks like a lion, and footed like a hart. And in his body there was such a noise as it had been the noise of 30 couple of hounds questing, and such a noise that beast made wheresomever he went. And this beast evermore Sir Palomedes followed, for it was called his quest. And right so as he followed this beast, it came by Sir Tristram, and soon after came Palomedes. And to brief this matter, he smote down Sir Tristram and Sir Lamorack both with one spear. And so he departed after the beast Glatisant, asterisk, that was called the questing beast. Glatisant barking, return to text. Wherefore these two knights were passing wroth, that Sir Palomedes would not fight on foot with them. Page 402. Here men may understand that be of worship, that he was never formed that all times might stand, but sometime he was put to the worst by malfortune, and at some time the worst knight put the better knight to a rebuke. Then Sir Tristram and Sir Lamorack gat Sir Kehydius upon a shield betwixt them both, and led him to a forester's lodge, and there they gave him in charge to keep him well, and with him they abode 3 days. Then the two knights took their horses, and at the cross they departed. And then said Sir Tristram to Sir Lamorack, I require you, if ye hap to meet with Sir Palomedes, say him that he shall find me at the same well there I met him, and there I, Sir Tristram, shall prove whether he be better knight than I. And so either departed from other a sundry way, and Sir Tristram rode nigh thereas was Sir Kehydius. And Sir Lamorack rode until he came to a chapel, and there he put his horse unto pasture. And anon there came Sir Meliagaunt, that was King Bagdemagus's son, and he there put his horse to pasture, and was not ware of Sir Lamorack. And then this knight, Sir Meliagaunt, made his moan of the love that he had to Queen Guinevere, and there he made a woeful complaint. All this heard Sir Lamorack, and on the morn Sir Lamorack took his horse and rode unto the forest, and there he met with two knights hoving under the wood Shaw, asterisk, Shaw's thick is a thicket, return to text. Fair knights, said Sir Lamorack, what do ye hoving here and watching? And if ye be knights errant that will joust, lo, I am ready. Nay, sir knight, they said, not so. We abide not here for to joust with you, but lie here in await of a knight that slew our brother. What knight was that, said Sir Lamorack, that ye would fain meet withal? Sir, they said, it is Sir Lancelot that slew our brother, and if ever we may meet with him, he shall not escape, but we shall slay him. Page 403. Ye take upon ye a great charge, said Sir Lamorack, for Sir Lancelot is a noble proved knight. As for that, we doubt not, for there nis none of us, but we are good enough for him. I will not believe that, said Sir Lamorack, for I heard never yet of no knight the days of my life, but Sir Lancelot was too big for him. Chapter 13. How Sir Lamorack met with Sir Meliagaunt, and fought together for the beauty of Dame Guinevere. Right so as they stood talking thus, Sir Lamorack was ware how Sir Lancelot came riding straight toward them. Then Sir Lamorack saluted him, and he him again. And then Sir Lamorack asked Sir Lancelot if there were anything that he might do for him in these marches. Nay, said Sir Lancelot, not at this time, I thank you. Then either departed from other, and Sir Lamorack rode again thereas he left the two knights, and then he found them hid in the leaved wood. Fie on you, said Sir Lamorack, false cowards, pity and shame it is that any of you should take the high order of knighthood. So Sir Lamorack departed from them, and within a while he met with Sir Meliagaunt. And then Sir Lamorack asked him why he loved Queen Guinevere as he did, for I was not far from you when ye made your complaint by the chapel. Did ye so, said Sir Meliagaunt, then will I abide by it. I love Queen Guinevere, what will ye with it? I will prove and make good that she is the fairest lady and most of beauty in the world. As to that, said Sir Lamorack, I say nay thereto, for Queen Margawas of Orkney, mother of Sir Gawain, and his mother is the fairest queen and lady that beareth the life. Page 404. That is not so, said Sir Meliagaunt, and that will I prove with my hands upon thy body. Will ye so, said Sir Lamorack, and in a better quarrel keep I not to fight? Then they departed either from other in great wrath, and then they came riding together as it had been thunder, and either smote other so sore that their horses fell backward to the earth. And then they avoided their horses and dressed their shields and drew their swords, and when they hurled together as wild boars, and thus they fought a great while. For Meliagaunt was a good man and a great might, but Sir Lamorack was hard big for him, and put him always aback, but either had wounded other sore. And as they stood thus fighting, by fortune came Sir Lancelot and Sir Bleoberis riding. And then Sir Lancelot rode betwixt them and asked them for what cause they fought so together. And ye are both knights of King Arthur. Sir, said Meliagaunt, I shall tell you for what cause we do this battle. I praised my lady, Queen Guinevere, and said she was the fairest lady of the world. And Sir Lamorack said nay thereto, for he said Queen Margawas of Orkney was fairer than she, and more of beauty. Ah, Sir Lamorack, why sayest thou so? It is not thy part to dispraise thy princes, than thou art under their obeisance, and we all. And therewith he alit on foot and said, For this quarrel make thee ready, for I will prove upon thee that Queen Guinevere is the fairest lady and most of bounty in the world. Sir, said Sir Lamorack, I am loath to have ado with you in this quarrel, for every man thinketh his own lady fairest, and though I praise the lady that I love most, ye should not be wroth. For though my lady Queen Guinevere be fairest in your eye, wit ye well, Queen Margawas of Orkney is fairest in mine eye, and so every knight thinketh his own lady fairest. And wit ye well, sir, ye are the man in the world, except Sir Tristram, that I am most lothest to have ado with all. But, and ye will needs fight with me, I shall endure you as long as I may. Page 405. Then spake Sir Bleoberis and said, My lord Sir Lancelot, I wished you never so misadvised as ye are now, for Sir Lamorack saith you but reason and knightly. For I warn you, I have a lady, and methinketh that she is the fairest lady of the world. Were this a great reason that ye should be wroth with me for such language? And well ye wot that Sir Lamorack is as noble a knight as I know, and he hath ought you and us ever good will. And therefore I pray you be good friends. Then Sir Lancelot said unto Sir Lamorack, I pray you, forgive me mine evil will, and if I was misadvised, I will amend it. Sir, said Sir Lamorack, the amends is soon made betwixt you and me. And so Sir Lancelot and Sir Bleoberis departed, and Sir Meliagaunt and Sir Lamorack took their horses, and either departed from other. And within a while came King Arthur, and met with Sir Lamorack, and jousted with him, and there he smote down Sir Lamorack, and wounded him sore with a spear, and so he rode from him. Wherefore Sir Lamorack was wroth that he would not fight with him on foot, howbeit that Sir Lamorack knew not King Arthur. Page 406. Chapter 14. How Sir Kay met with Sir Tristram, and after of the shame spoken of the knights of Cornwall, and how they jousted. Now leave we of this tale, and speak we of Sir Tristram, that as he rode he met with Sir Kay the Seneschal. And there Sir Kay asked Sir Tristram of what country he was. He answered that he was of the country of Cornwall. It may well be, said Sir Kay, for yet heard I never that ever good knight came out of Cornwall.
That is evil spoken, said Sir Tristram. But an it please you to tell me your name, I require you. Sir, wit ye well, said Sir Kay, that my name is Sir Kay the Seneschal. Is that your name, said Sir Tristram? Now wit ye well that ye are named the shamefulest knight of your tongue that now is living. Howbeit ye are called a good knight, but ye are called unfortunate and passing overthwart of your tongue. And thus they rode together till they came to a bridge, and there was a knight would not let them pass till one of them jousted with him. And so that knight jousted with Sir Kay, and there that knight gave Sir Kay a fall. His name was Sir Tor, Sir Lamorack's half-brother. And then they two rode to their lodging, and there they found Sir Brandiles, and Sir Tor came thither anon after. And as they sat at supper these four nights, three of them spake all shame by Cornish knights. Sir Tristram heard all that they said, and he said but little, but he thought the more, but at that time he discovered not his name. Upon the morn Sir Tristram took his horse and abode them upon their way, and there Sir Brandiles proffered to joust with Sir Tristram, and Sir Tristram smote him down, horse and all, to the earth. Then Sir Tor le Fis de Vesure encountered with Sir Tristram, and there Sir Tristram smote him down, and then he rode his way, and Sir Kay followed him, but he would not of his fellowship. Then Sir Brandiles came to Sir Kay and said, I would wit fain what is that knight's name. Come on with me, said Sir Kay, and we shall pray him to tell us his name. So they rode together till they came nigh him, and then they were ware where he sat by a well, and had put off his helm to drink at the well. And when he saw them come, he laced on his helm lightly, and took his horse, and proffered them to joust. Page 407. Nay, said Sir Brandiles, we jousted late enough with you, we come not in that intent. But for this we come to require you of knighthood to tell us your name. My fair knights, sithen that is your desire, and to please you, ye shall wit that my name is Sir Tristram de Lyonesse, nephew unto King Mark of Cornwall. In good time, said Sir Brandiles, and well be ye founden, and wit ye well that we be right glad that we have found you, and we be of a fellowship that would be right glad of your company. For ye are the knight in the world that the noble fellowship of the Round Table most desireth to have the company of. God thank them, said Sir Tristram, of their great goodness, but as yet I feel well that I am unable to be of their fellowship, for I was never yet of such deeds of worthiness to be in the company of such a fellowship. Ah, said Sir Kay, and ye be Sir Tristram de Lyonesse? Ye are the man called now most of prowess, except Sir Lancelot du Lake, for he beareth not the life, Christian ne heathen, that can find such another knight to speak of his prowess and of his hands and his truth withal. For yet could there never creature say of him dishonor and make it good. Thus they talked a great while, and then they departed either from other such ways as to them as them seemed best. Page 408. Chapter 15. How King Arthur was brought into the Forest Perilous, and how Sir Tristram saved his life. Now shall ye hear what was the cause that King Arthur came into the Forest Perilous that was in North Wales by the means of a lady. Her name was Annery, and this lady came to King Arthur at Cardiff, and she by fair promise and fair behests made King Arthur to ride with her into that Forest Perilous, and she was a great sorceress, and many days she had loved King Arthur, and because she would have him to lie by her, she came into that country. So when the king was gone with her, many of his knights followed after King Arthur when they missed him, as Sir Lancelot, Brandiles, and many other. And when she had brought him to her tower, she desired him to lie by her, and then the king remembered him of his lady, and would not lie by her for no craft that she could do. Then every day she would make him ride into that forest with his own knights, to the intent to have had King Arthur slain. For when this lady Annowre saw that she might not have him at her will, then she labored by false means to have destroyed King Arthur and slain. Then the lady of the lake that was alway friendly to King Arthur, she understood by her subtle crafts that King Arthur was like to be destroyed. And therefore this lady of the lake, that hight Nimue, came into the forest to seek after Sir Lancelot du Lake or Sir Tristram for to help King Arthur. For as that same day this lady of the lake knew well that King Arthur should be slain unless that he had help of one of these two knights. And thus she rode up and down till she met with Sir Tristram, and anon as she saw him, she knew him. O, my lord Sir Tristram, she said, well be ye met, and blessed be the time that I have met with you, for this same day and within these 2 hours shall be done the foulest deed that ever was done in this land. O, fair damosel, said Sir Tristram, may I amend it? Come on with me, she said, and that in all the haste ye may, for ye shall see the most worshipfulest knight of the world hard bestead. Then said Sir Tristram, I am ready to help such a noble man. He is neither better nor worse, said the lady of the lake, but the noble King Arthur himself. God defend, said Sir Tristram, that ever he should be.